I want you to open your Bibles tonight to a very familiar chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, those of you who are familiar with your Bibles, and I think most of you are, you know at the very mention of Hebrews chapter 11, your mind immediately goes to the thought of faith, and you associate that idea with a great number of outstanding men, because there is quite a catalogue of men mentioned in Hebrews 11. But this is the day they call Mother's Day. And I'm very glad that wedged right in amongst all those great men that are mentioned here, there are a number of outstanding women. And it's these women folks in Hebrews 11 we're going to look at now. Let's read at verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even from one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now look at verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now look at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge it's thy word we've been reading, a word given by inspiration. We thank thee for the faithfulness of the record. And we pray that what we've been reading and what shall be said about it shall reach all our hearts tonight and encourage us on the path of faith. We ask these things, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, it's a wonderful thing when you read down through this chapter and see those great men. I think we must admit that Abraham was a great man, but we must also bow to this, he was not a perfect man. The only perfect man that ever walked the face of this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll all agree on that. But Abraham was a great man of faith. But let me say this, that one of the greatest things in his life was the fact that he had a son called Isaac. But he would never have had that son, Isaac, if he hadn't had a wife called Sarah. Sarah was the mother of Isaac. It says here, through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. I was very, very interested when I came across a remark about this particular word here. And like you, perhaps, every time I read it, I thought I just understood what it meant. Until I discovered that this is the only place in the Bible where this particular word is translated by the word conceive. It's a rather strange word. It's a thought of she receives strength to lay a foundation. It's something new. And you say, well, what was the foundation here? You see, God had promised to Abraham, and you get that back in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. He said, I will make thy name great and will make of thee a great nation. Now the strange thing is, there were many nations came out of the loins of Abraham. Many of them. You see, Abram had a son, you will remember, who was born of the Egyptian maid. But he was not the son of promise. He was produced in the energy of the flesh. And that which is produced in the energy of the flesh would always be at variance with that which is born of the Spirit. Then he had other children, you remember, of the woman who was called Keturah. But what we are interested in now is the one that was born of Sarah. There was a certain measure of laughter associated with this. Abraham sort of laughed himself. Could he, an old man of 99, now have a son? Could Sarah, who was about 90 years of age, have a son? A little bit of laughter. So far as Sarah was concerned, when she heard that, she laughed within. She tried to cover it up. Nevertheless, she laughed. She thought, impossible. However, by faith or through faith, Sarah herself received strength to lay that foundation of what? This great nation that God had promised. Everything now was depending on this child. It wasn't just a matter of saying Sarah would have a child. No, Sarah would have a son. And the son was born. And they called him Isaac. Because while she had a little laugh in herself, later on God made her to laugh. And when God creates the laughter, it's real. And here you come to the time when she brings forth her son. It's interesting, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you discover this, that when God told Abraham he'd have a son, and his seed would be as the stars of heaven, and as the sand upon the seashore, that's the time when it says, Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. So in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, Abraham had faith, all right. He had faith to believe God. But when you come to chapter 16, he didn't have the patience to wait God's time. You know, beloved, it's all right having faith in God. And say, I believe God. But sometimes God tests us a little. And there's such a thing as the exercise of patience with regards to the workings of God. God works according to his own calendar. Works in his own way. Now he says, Abraham, you'll have a son. But it seemed at that time that neither Sarah nor Abraham could understand how this could be carried out, yet he believed God. But since he didn't have the patience to wait God's time, he produced Ishmael in the energy of the flesh. But now when the time came, here at the time when Sarah received strength, so far as the flesh was concerned, she was beyond that. It was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to produce the son. It took an act of God. And the foundation was laid here through faith. You see, here is a woman who finds her place in the whole system here of life lived on the principle of faith. And all those great men are mentioned. But Sarah comes in. You know, when you think of her background, she came from the same place as Abram. Away down from Ur of the Chaldees. She had a background there of idolatry. That was the system in which she had been raised. But she had come away with Abraham. She was journeying with him. She seems to be exercising the same faith in her God. Perhaps not just as strongly as Abraham, but nevertheless she's there. But now there comes this time when she is going to be the mother of a child. And remember this, he's going to be an outstanding man for God, is Isaac. When you come over to the New Testament and you come to chapter 1 of the Gospel according to Matthew, and you come down through that genealogy, you remember the first thing you read, and Abraham begat Isaac. He comes first in that great genealogy from Abraham, Isaac. That was the line. And you see, here's the woman who by faith is brought in and is given strength to lay the foundation whereby Isaac would come into this world. Isaac, who would be the son of Abraham. Now the book commences by saying it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So when we read about Isaac being the son of Abraham, you remember you associate Isaac with perhaps two outstanding things other than his birth. You associate him with being laid on the altar when his father took him up to Mount Moriah. Then you associate him with the fact when Abraham is making out his will, he wills everything over, as it were, to Isaac. He's the son and heir. But he's only a figure of the real son of Abraham. When you think of the son of David, you think of one associated with the throne. That was Solomon. But when you come to the real son of David, he's also the son of Abraham. He's associated with the altar and he's associated with the throne. But here you go back to Sarah. She who was the genuine real wife of Abraham. She's the channel through whom this son would be born. She's chosen of God to be the channel that would bring forth Isaac. And all the promises are vested in him. And you'll follow that line right down until you come to the one that is born, the Christ. But it was through faith. It seems to me, it shows us a picture of the new birth. You cannot have the new birth apart from the work of the Holy Spirit and faith. And through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive or set the foundation for something new that was going to be built. But now, when you move on from that, you've learned a lesson here regarding Sarah. It's life produced. But when you come to verse 23, there's no name given, but you all know the name, I'm sure. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Do you remember what his mother's name was? Jochebed. She was also the mother of Aaron and the mother of Miriam. And when he was born, it was under real, crushing, trying circumstances. It was a crisis in the life of the nation. It was also a crisis in the life of that man and his wife. When you read back in the book of Exodus, she's referred to as the mother of Moses, the mother of Moses. Then you come to the part when it tells you that Amram had Jochebed for his wife. But now at this time, I'm going to suggest to you that right here, you have life protected. Life produced through faith in Sarah. Life protected through the faith of the parents of Moses. Now you remember what his mother did on that occasion. Mothers, do you think you could hide a baby boy for 3 months without anybody knowing. You must admit it would be a very difficult situation, wouldn't it? Because you see, they wouldn't have the houses like what we live in today. Of course, if you had a house with about 8, 9, or 10 rooms and a big basement with some places down there to hide them, you perhaps could keep them concealed for quite a time. Or if you had a house with a few rooms upstairs and an attic and so on and a big closet, you might hide them up there. But in the little mud houses these slaves would be living in Egypt, they would have very, very little chance of hiding a healthy little boy for 3 months. Some of you have a difficulty keeping them quiet for 3 minutes. Never mind 3 months. But I like this. By faith. Now you're all acquainted with the principle that's laid down in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now remember the circumstances under which Moses was born. His parents were slaves down in the land of Egypt. Not only slaves, but they were being harassed by the Pharaoh who was ruling at that time. Do you remember the order was sent out that if a male child was born, the midwives were to strangle them at birth? What a cruel thing. They're strangling them before birth nowadays, which is just as bad or perhaps worse. But down in Egypt, and you grew at the very idea of those nursemaids, those midwives being told, now if it's a baby boy, make sure you choke him or strangle him as he's being born. We don't want any more of these people down here. They're becoming too numerous for us. They're multiplying too quickly. They're a menace. So we must get rid of them. Hitler, you know, during his time of reign over in Germany, he thought they were a menace there too. He was going to get rid of them. He got rid of about 6 million of them. Strange thing, they're still flourishing. They're still there, multiplying. They were down in Egypt. But now since the midwives feared God and they wouldn't carry out the king's command because it was against their moral convictions and against God's moral order, all right, says Pharaoh, let them be born, all right. But now we'll put the onus on the parents. If it's a boy, you'll throw him in the river. Sacrifice them to the river. But here's a couple. Now I want you to take the place of the mother, Jochebed, what it says his parents. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. How did they know? What's behind it? Had God spoken to them? Was there a message delivered to them? Because it's by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when that boy was born, they said, he's a proper child, this is him. He is not to be destroyed. We'll nurture him. We'll feed him. She had faith. And she believed God. And for 3 months they hid that little child. And when they could hide him no longer, and you find this back in the book of Exodus, they made for him a little ark of bulrushes. May I suggest his daddy did that? No doubt his dad went down to the river and pulled those bulrushes. Took them out stake by stake, wove them into a beautiful basket. Then he would get the mud slime, line it outside and inside. And there it was, watertight, nice little basket. And they did exactly what the law said. But they added something to it, you see. They put him in the river, all right, but they put him in the basket. And then they left it entirely with God. And his sister is standing there to watch. She didn't do very much, did she? Just watched. What's she watching for? To see what would become of him? Then you know the story. What do you think the mother was doing when the little boy was down in the basket in the river? May I suggest, ladies, if she was a woman marked by faith, I believe she was on her knees. She was committing the whole matter to God. And see, God was working everything according to his own plan and purposes. They were just fitting in with God's plan, that's all. They weren't making the plan, God made the plan. They just fitted in. And Pharaoh's daughter came along. And then, there's where his sister Miriam comes into the picture. Shall I go and find a nurse? Well, who is better fitted to nurse the baby than his mother? She goes and finds the baby's mother, her own mother, and the baby's handed over. Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages, thy reward. She was rewarded for nursing her own baby. May I suggest to every mother, there's a reward, mothers, for mothers who can win their own children for the Lord. You see, children spend more time with their mother than they do with their father, because father is out working. He's got his hours of work to put in. I know in our house, mother was there, as I told you this morning. She woke us in the morning and she was still going around working at night when we went off to bed. Last to go to bed, first to get up. We expected her to be there every time we came in. If she wasn't there, we wanted to know where she was. Why wasn't she there? Mothers have a great influence on the children. Take this child away, nurse it for me, rear it for me, look after it. I'll pay you your wages, I'll give you your reward. He was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw him as a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Then from there you proceed and you read this, by faith Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, through faith he kept the Passover, and so on. He was a man raised as a man of faith. Why? But his mother was a woman of faith before him. And no doubt his father also acted for faith, but here was a mother who had faith in her God to protect her child. He was life protected. Mothers, you may have the power to produce, you may have the power to protect. What is true in the physical sense is true in the spiritual sense. You see, some folks seem to imagine that it's only the preachers, only these big-time evangelists who have the converts. I'm going to be very honest with you. When it comes to the time of reckoning, they may have very few. They may have very few. I sometimes wonder if it would be possible to have a register. God has it. Of course, I know He has it. But I wondered if He'd give us a little peep into it, to see how many people have been won for the Lord through the influence of their mother. Mothers can have a great influence on their children for good. But then again we come to another one. If we have life produced, we have life protected, we come to Rahab, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. In connection with Rahab, I suggest life here was preserved. Here was a woman who had no connection with Israel whatsoever. Not related to Abraham, she had no claim upon the promises that were made to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. She wasn't like the parents of Moses. She wasn't in the tribe of Levi. She wasn't even in the nation. An outsider. A Gentile. And in spite of what others have tried to say in their favor, she was a Gentile sinner. A low-down woman. The Bible doesn't hide it any. A harlot. living on the walls of Jericho, the wicked city that God said was to be destroyed. But by faith the harlot Rahab perished not. And you remember what happened. She received the spies in peace. Then she let them down through the window and down the wall with a cord. But she took this pledge that when they came to take the city, that she would be preserved, and all who were in her house. Oh, I would like to have heard that woman after they'd gone. I guarantee she went to visit her parents. If she had any relatives in the city, she'd go and visit them. And she'd tell them exactly the conversation she had had with those spies. Look, our city is going to fall. We know it will. God is with these people. Judgment is going to fall in this city. But, there's a way of salvation. There's a way in which you can be preserved. Come into my house. My house will be standing, but all the others will fall to ruins. Here's the only way for you. I'll guarantee Rahab did her business and did it well in telling others what would happen. But you know a strange thing? While she was an outsider and had no claim whatever upon the promises made to Abraham, no claim upon the covenants, you find her name again in that wonderful genealogy. Rahab. And if you care to give some study to it, by the way, I'll just suggest this to you. It may be right and it may be wrong. Who do you think she married? Now, if any of you could tell me the names of the two spies that were sent in, I've often wished I could find out. But I can't. But I'm wondering if she married one of the spies. Or if he married her. I'm wondering. Because she finds her place right in there, and it's from her line that you come to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, the one who married Ruth. And from there you come down to David, the royal line. And continue in your study right down, and you come to the Christ who was born. Can you imagine this woman being preserved by faith when judgment fell on all those around her? He is a woman who exercises faith against all odds. If you had gone to see that woman a month before this, you would never have expected her to be the one in that city that would be preserved, and all who were in her house. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. I suggest that here was a woman who believed what she heard, for faith cometh by hearing, and she told the spies what she had heard. She had heard the whole history of how God had brought them out of Egypt and how he brought them through the Red Sea. And 40 years had passed, but she heard. Someone was there to tell her. She heard the historical record. Now she says, and we also know what has happened down there with the kings on the other side of Jordan. And here we are. We're at your mercy, so to speak. And we know God's going to give you the land. That's faith. I suggest to you that by faith she put her soul right with her God. And she joined in fellowship with God's people. She showed kindness to them. She received them in peace, life preserved. But that's not all. You see, you come to another interesting little statement here. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now let your mind go back. Women received their dead raised to life again. We spoke of one of them this morning, didn't we? That great woman. You see, she ran to the man of God, you remember, And Elisha made his way. First of all, he sent his servant Gehazi. You remember that story? And he took Elisha's staff and he laid it on the child, and but nothing happened. Nothing happened. When Elisha came in, he didn't lay a dead staff on the boy at all. You know what he did? He got down and put mouth to mouth, hand to hand, face to face. Plain words, he seemed to come down to the boy's level and the boy's size. Now, I found this for the years that I used to do children's work. Going to reach children, you've got to come down to their size. You don't teach children heavy doctrines. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. You come down to their size. And you use illustrations they understand. Talk to them about the bread of life, and the water of life, and such like things. And remember, he came down to their size. And the life came back again into that boy. Women received of dead, raised again to life. Likewise, you remember Elijah did something similar. Now here it finds its place right here in the Epistle to the Hebrews. This is a great, great chapter dealing with faith. And women, I'm glad that the women folks are mentioned in this chapter, because I started off by saying this is a great chapter for men. Some outstanding men mentioned here. You know, you start off before the flood with Abel and Enoch and Noah. Then you come down and you deal with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Then you move into the book of Exodus, so to speak, and you come to Moses. Then you move on to Joshua when they crossed over and so on. Then you come to David, and likewise some of the judges. They're all mentioned here. Great men, great men. But I'm glad that God, by the Holy Spirit, takes up these verses and says, yes, but there were some great women. And women folks can exercise faith the same as men. I wonder how many of you here, you like reading missionary books. I know a lot of you do. I used to love reading missionary books. I still do. I think reading missionary books becomes a great stimulus to you. If you've never read the story of David Livingstone, then you ought to. You ought to. Because you see, he was a little Scottish fellow. Came from Blantyre. They still got his house where he was born, you know, and lived. He lived in the mills there. And David Livingstone walked from Blantyre to the Broomielaw in Glasgow to get the boat. Poor boy. But he became the great Dr. Livingstone, the pioneer missionary in Africa. Great. Yes, but have you ever read of Mary Slessor? Let me see. Let me test this audience. Now, just to give me a little indication. How many of you have read the life story of Mary Slessor? One? Oh, dear. Not many converts tonight, is there? I trust you'll all become converts to the reading of Mary Slessor. Who was she? The White Queen of Calabar, a mill girl, born in the city of Aberdeen, moved to Dundee and worked in the jute mills in Dundee, and left to go to the mission field, Mary Slessor of Calabar. Yes, just an ordinary mill girl, did a tremendous work for God. If you've never read some of these stories of outstanding women and what they've done for the Lord, start reading them. Here we find those women, first of all, life produced. Oh, mothers, what a work you can do. Even if you've only got 3 children of your own, or if you have 3 little children in a Sunday school class, and you spend your time dealing with them, and you pour into them the message of the Lord, and by faith they lay hold upon it. In after years, you'll see them. First time I ever visited Toronto. I was to speak in different chapels up there. And on the Sunday morning, I arrived at one of them, fair big place. And the man at the door said, "Are you Mr. McNeil?" I said, "Yes, I am." "She's waiting for you." He says, "There's a lady just inside the door there waiting to see you." I said, "Lady waiting to see me? I wonder who could this be?" I just got inside the door, and sure enough, when I looked her, my eyes got big. And she rushed right forward, and the blessing my wife wasn't there that day. She threw her arms right round my neck and hugged me and kissed me. "Oh, Willie," she says, it's so grand to see you, it's so grand to see you." And she turned to the man, she says, "He used to be one of the little boys in my Sunday school class. He was in my Sunday school class," and that was true. I remember she used to give us a little candy for saying the text, you know. And I look forward to getting that candy from Bella every time I said the text. I learned the text each week, but I knew there was a candy on the Sunday for saying that text. See, that's a suggestion to some of you teachers. So you get them to learn the text. But there was Bella. After all those years, she had emigrated out to Canada, and she saw it in the paper that I was to be preaching there. She traveled a good number of miles that morning to be there. And to think that he was one of her Sunday school scholars of many years ago, preaching now in Toronto that Sunday. You Sunday school teachers, don't think it's in vain. Here was a woman who produced a little boy, and he grew up to be the great Isaac. The foundation, as it were, of God producing something new. Then think again of this woman, Jochebed, who looked at her little boy and said, "He's a proper child, this is him. Oh, I'll watch over him." She nursed him. Nursed him for 3 months and kept him hidden, and then she was given him. And "I'll give you your wages," and she was rewarded for nursing her own boy. See what he became, the great emancipator of the nation of Israel, bringing them out from Egypt and bringing them right to the borders of the promised land. Think of Rahab. She was despised, no doubt, by many. But see what she became, a great woman. Find her name in the chapter of faith. Find her name there again in Matthew chapter 1 and the great genealogy leading up to association with Christ. Rahab. Oh, don't think yourself despised and said it not. You could be a great woman of faith. And then you see, here those who receive their children back again. Here's the prospect of a new life. Resurrection. Now this is something we sometimes forget. You and I are not here forever. Some of these days we've got to go. The insurance agent was at me the other day, wanted me to take out some insurance. You get these fellas often, don't you? My. If I was to take out all the insurance they want me to take, I don't know, I'd be ruined. I suppose you're the same. You get them by mail, and you get them calling on you by phone and so on. I said to him, "You know how I would like to go?" And he looked at me. I said, "I'd like to go to my bed some night and waking up in heaven the next morning." Now he said, "That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?" I said, "Yes, it would be. But many a man has done that. Go to bed at night and waking up in heaven. What a glorious, glorious time. And then await the glorious resurrection." Of course, it would be even better if before we go to bed tonight that we could hear the trumpet sound. If the trumpet would sound tonight, we wouldn't need to go to bed. We'd go right up to be forever with the Lord. But there's going to be a resurrection. And those loved ones we have put away. I just asked Bobby this morning, talking about the flowers, memory of his mother. "How long is it now, Bobby?" "It's 3 years." He told Mrs. Hammond she used to come and take her seat here all the time. 3 years seems a long time, doesn't it? Well, it's a much longer time since I buried my mother. Buried my mother in 1951. Buried my father in 1931. But you know, when I think of their grave now, they're not there now. There's nothing there. No dust. But someday there will be the quickening sound, and they'll come back again. They'll be raised incorruptible. We have the prospect of a new life, to live with an indissoluble body, a glorified body like unto his glorified body. What a prospect we have, all because of faith. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for people who have left us an example that we could follow their steps. We thank thee for good, godly men who have left us an example. We thank you for good, godly women who persistently have lived for thee, They've been an example to their children and have led them to trust the Lord. Remember, each of us here tonight, different families represented, and some of them grieve at their heart because members of their family have turned into the paths of sin. Oh God, thou knowest there are those of us that pray for our relatives. Some have brothers, some have sisters, some have sons and some have daughters, and some even may have their parents that are not yet saved. We cry to thee, oh God, wilt thou move in our midst and make each of us feel exercised that we want to see them one for the Lord. Give us a sense of revival in our midst. Take each of us home now in safety tonight. Bless the sick ones who are unable to be with us. Be with them now, for we ask it giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen.